Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We have got another massively important Friday transmission lined up for you. And then, this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m., we'll be live, but Mike Adams is going to be sitting in for me. He's got some breaking news he's going to be breaking here on air coming up this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central. If you don't have a local AM and FM in your area, well, you can always simply tune in via Infowars.com. We have the director of an amazing documentary film that's going to be joining us, Farmageddon. The director will be joining us to break down the incredible attacks on farms and farmers and ranchers and rural communities here inside the United States under Agenda 21. That is all coming up in the second hour. And then the last 30 minutes of the third hour, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, former head of the Treasury Department and Policy, former Wall Street Journal editor, is going to be joining us to talk about just the incredible police state and a new article he's got out today that's at Infowars.com, How to Break Out of the Matrix. We've got some new factoids in the George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin case. ABC News has now released a photo that his neighbor took minutes after the back of his head bashed in with blood all over the place. Just as he said, and just as all the witnesses saw, including two black witnesses, again, not saying it was the best thing that he even came out of his house to check out what was happening, but he went to his car, reportedly, and then Martin came over and got in his face and started kicking his hind end in. Not good to bring your fist to a gunfight. But the media seized on all of this to try to cause some type of big war between different racial groups as a political distraction. And now we've confirmed, barely even covered this last week, it's such big news, that the Justice Department is leading the protest and, to quote, protect them and hyping it. And NBC is editing audio tapes of 911 to make it sound like Zimmerman is like, yeah, he's black, he's no good. They're like, what color does he look? Is he black, Hispanic, white? No, he looks black. And they talk about other stuff. And, well, what's he doing? Well, he looks confused. He's either on drugs or up to no good. Something's going on. They just combined those two together to say, he's black. He looks like he's up to no good. Again, why would they do that? In the old days, NBC could get away with that because there wouldn't be the internet later when private citizens went and got the full tape and released it. And, I mean, it was alternative blogs that first put out the fact that they edited it. Infowars.com was one of the first to link to that, then the Drudge Report, and then it forced NBC to get caught. By the way, speaking of pushing and dominating the media and starting to be able to more and more on a daily basis set the agenda, Infowars.com 3 days ago did an article about the new advanced black boxes going in all the cars by law that totally track everything you're doing, just like all the other hidden tech that the CIA director talked about where your, quote, toaster and clock radio and washing machine are watching and listening to you and the smart meters are. Well, we've had Forbes and we have now had The Atlantic come out and attack us that we're a bunch of fearmongers. And their answer is, it's already been tracking you for a long, long time. The system has already been going after you for a long, long, long time. So it's like saying, well, we've had slavery for hundreds of years, so now it's okay. Now it's okay. Now it's not a problem because we've already had it before. It's this idea that tyrants have done things, so that makes it okay. But there's another example of this news that we're covering, punching out into the mainstream on now a daily basis. Very, very exciting. And a lot of that's thanks to the syndicated radio, you, the listeners, spreading the word and getting the stories out, and people like Matt Drudge at DrudgeReport.com. He also posted that article. We'll be back with more news. Stay with us.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
It's already Friday, the 20th day of April, 2012, and we're going to be here for the next 3 hours. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, who hadn't been on in a few months, has written a new article titled Getting Americans Out of the Matrix that is up on Infowars.com. We're going to be discussing that with him, and we have the director of the film, Farmageddon, that just details the incredible persecution of our rural communities. The globalists do not want anybody being self-sufficient in this society. We have a lot of other big developments in the Middle East, on the economy, Ted Nugent, the First Amendment, the police state, cops take school kids' DNA and murder case. I mentioned this yesterday, but I started reading the quotes by the police, and it's amazing. Wait till I get to these. Also, Rupert Murdoch is back in court, that inquest that's being used to basically blackmail News Corp into getting even more pro-New World Order. Some big Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman developments, all of it. Also, Forbes writer scoffs at InfoWars freakout on mandatory black boxes. See, first, we're not being tracked with black boxes on board all the new electronics. Now they admit we are. And the smart meters are going to control our temperature and are dialing in to all these tech systems built in that you pay for when you buy a washing machine or a dishwasher or a clock radio. So, yes, they are watching us and tracking us without warrants, but get used to it. They've been doing it a long time. That's their answer. So, again, first, none of this existed. Now they're rolling it out and saying, yeah, there's no Fourth Amendment, we'll do whatever we want, but still, you're bad if you don't like it. And we've, as I mentioned in the last segment, also had the Atlantic, the same magazine that came out last month and had Ben Bernanke on the front and said, hero under it. Just hero. And Aaron Dykes did a big report yesterday where Bill Gates actually pays hundreds of media outlets to say he's a superhero. He pays ABC News and The Daily Show and all of these systems on record to show him in Superman and Green Lantern outfits. And you're like, well, that's just ridiculous. Well, Warren Buffett, his partner in crime's favorite thing is to hold an ice cream cone in his hand. Thousands of photos of him with ice cream cones. Just type Warren Buffett ice cream cone in, and you'll see it. It's all about just a non-threatening gimmick. It's a gimmick. And now they have in public school comic books that are given to the kids where Bill Gates is a superhero. He's paying for this. Because people are like, you're saying he's this evil eugenicist who wants world government and whose dad headed up Planned Parenthood and called for world government and all this, and you're saying he works for the government to spy on people and put back doors in all of his systems. Now, you're saying Bill Gates is bad, but, I mean, he's a superhero. On ABC News, London Guardian, the list goes on and on. It even says under the articles on the sites, sponsored by Bill and Melinda Gates. And that's why almost every time I turn the news on, it's like worshiping Bill Gates. This is just a total propaganda assault. Because they know we're exposing them. You know, we didn't even play the video clip last week. We should have. But it was up on Infowars.com. Melinda Gates got up at the TED TV technology conference in Germany, in Berlin, and said many people are trying to stop our efforts to save people worldwide by saying we want to reduce population. You're going to cause loss of life. You're going to cause it. Well, you know, it's funny. Bill Gates is on record. In fact, I think I'll do a whole news report on this again and just put it all together where he says on Lair News Hour, get rid of the population, where he says on Bill Moyers, get rid of the population, where he says, kill grandma to hire 10 teachers. And you just type in Bill Gates endorses death panels. He says, yeah, I'm for death panels. And I can show you all the things they funded, the things they've done, where he told TED TV, we're going to reduce human population. Humans are bad. They exhale carbon dioxide. And we've got to bring that number to zero. And the crowd all laughed because they're a bunch of insiders who get off on the idea. It's like, wow, we've got a world government jacking the food and water supply. And they're like, wow, we're being let in on this. The public's so dumb. Bill Gates just openly said we're going to kill most people, and they all giggle and have fun because they're part of it. They get off on it. There's nothing more deadly than a nerd. I'm going to tell you right now, because they're always underestimated. They end up with all the money, all the power, while normal men are running around acting tough and chasing women around. The nerds are calculating the takeover of society, and there's nothing a scientific demon nerd. There's a lot of good nerds out there. It's the idiots, call them nerds. But the demon nerds, they enjoy walking into a restaurant, feeling powerful, and looking around and seeing everybody they're soft killing. That's a real pleasure for them. That's a real enjoyment. That, oh, you got big muscles, you're tough, I use my brain, the world is mine, I'm going to merge with the high-tech life extension systems, I'm going to be in the high-tech reservation system. You're not going to exist in the future. And they're just carrying out a systematic operation. Well, let me tell you something, pal. I'm not going to try to join your system, even though I've been offered to join it. And I am going to fight you 110% because I've got a good enough brain to know history and to know that you are megalomaniacal, all of you that are part of this, and you're going to end up destroying the planet. And this stuff's all blowing back on you as well. You think you're going to dig a pit for us, you're going to end up falling into it. And so my prime objective, prime mission, 110% dedicated goal is preservation of Homo sapiens sapien. My total goal is defense of civilization and the innocents. My total goal is the empowerment of humanity. And you guys say that's your goal. All I see is you wrecking things because you eugenicists always on the surface claim you're trying to build up humanity by killing the infirm, the ignorant, the ugly, whatever, and saving the earth and building this big future. You're with your positive and negative eugenics, building up the beautiful, the virtuous, the intelligent, destroying, removing the ugly, the infirm, the deformed. But all I see is you actually targeting the general population because in your own documents, you're worried about the maverick bad sons. And a bad son, for those that aren't involved in study of plants, is little trees coming up in a grove of trees where you want it manicured. They're the little trees that crepe myrtles and others send up from their roots. And you want to cut those bad sons. Well, I see a bunch of diseased, ugly, twisted globalists telling us how humanity's ugly, we're bad, we're hurting everything. And then I see you guys with the genetic engineering and all the rest of it openly damaging the planet, irrevocably changing the DNA, always in an ugly, destructive way as you play God. And then telling us all day how bad we are. No, you are everything. You are everything you say we are. You are everything you say we are. And by the way, just because somebody isn't your image of beauty, or just because somebody doesn't have any arms, some of the greatest scientists and artists and thinkers that we have had as a species have had great disabilities. And you notice the globalists play both sides of that. They try to create a nanny state to, quote, protect everybody who has a disability from everyone else, but really they just seek to then have government as this divide and conquer system to actually persecute people and play different groups off against each other. All right, I'm done ranting about that. I want to have open phones here for the balance of the hour, interspersed with some important news. The toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231, and we'll get you up and on the air with your points, your comments, things you'd like to bring up. But I will tell you, if people just purely call in to just plug something out of the gates, I'm just going to hang up on you because it just ruins the show and it makes no sense to new listeners who are tuning in. If you want to talk about the issues or have any questions, I'd love to hear from you. 800-259-9231. Here's a new story by Paul Joseph Watson at Infowars.com. Climate alarmist calls for burning down skeptics' homes, which is something they've done all over Europe and the United States. You build a house in the woods, they burn it down. You got machinery clearing something off, they kill you. This is the type of stuff that we are dealing with here. Climate alarmist calls for burning down skeptics' homes. Let's start keeping track of them. Let's make them pay. And writing for Forbes magazine, climate change alarmist Steve Zwick. Now, Forbes is really a sick publication. They had that headline yesterday, paid for. Bill Gates a hero, Donald Trump a zero. Because Donald Trump said, yeah, man, everybody's getting autism. We need to look into these vaccines. By the way, we've got a new study on that, on the GMO and the pesticides causing autism. I mean, pretty soon it'll be one out of three people. And then civilization will collapse. But that won't matter. By then, they're going to release the mega bioweapon and just kill most of everybody. But we'll get into that report coming up. Stay with us. States, they're now injecting children with vaccines and saying they got their parental consent without getting their parental consent. In other cases, they're just secretly giving children shots and it comes out in the news. Or they're saying they don't need parental consent, that the children gave consent. Children can't give consent. That's why perverts always try to say the child gave them consent to rape them. Doesn't work. Or people say, oh, the five-year-old wanted to drink liquor or take drugs. Doesn't matter if the five-year-old says, sure. They can't give consent because they're children. I have police quoted here on local TV, clips, and the news articles quoted, where they say, we're going to take DNA samples from children without warrants or arrest because they gave consent. That's the state ending parenthood. And it's all part of getting children ready to go to adult prison and to be used as slave labor. This is just child slavery. And it's totally illegal. California is the most lawless, wicked government in the United States. I would advise anybody, it's a beautiful state in many areas, but I would advise people to either take your state back and recognize it or get out of there. I know we have three or four great affiliates there, but it really is a very, very sad situation. That's coming up. Let's go ahead and go to Aaron in Cambodia, Indochina. Aaron, good to have you listening to us, I guess via Skype or something? Or calling in via
Google
Skype?
Google Voice. Yeah, I use Google Voice. It's pretty good. It's free.
Well, they like to give you free things so they can listen in, but that's good. We're glad they're listening. What's on your mind today from Cambodia?
Well, I'm Happy New Year, first of all, for the in the Buddha world. Remember, the Buddhist religion predates Christianity by over 500 years. So we start celebrating New Year's about this time. Same with Mark Faber. And about the death of Buddha is when the calendar starts. It's about 500 years, 2555 is where we're at. So Happy New Year, and I love what you're doing, Alex. You're number one, man.
Well, I try my best. Thanks for putting up with me. Every time I hear my show or see it, I cringe, but I'm doing the best I can, so thank you. What's on your mind today?
Well, I wanted to point out that I've done my own research, and I've come up with a couple interesting things. Number one, the United States of America is a corporation in Delaware, and I've done an extensive video and stuff on it. And you'd be surprised to note that the Rothschilds have over 100 corporations in the state of Delaware, and also that the United States Treasury is a corporation, Social Security Administration, a corporation.
Well, I know the government is now a corporation and does say in court that we are under admiralty law, and that's how they're ignoring the Bill of Rights and Constitution, that they declare a new emergency every year. There was a big court case in England that did find the Rothschilds do have dummy corporations everywhere and are puppet masters. That was just adjudicated on last month. They sued people over saying it, but it does turn out a lot of the oligarchs in Russia are their front people. Yeah, the Rothschilds are at the very top of the pyramid.
Yes, and I'd like to hear you say that. Just stay in focus. Now, talking about what are we going to do about this, the people that have woken up, what can we actually do? And I'm always in favor of a march or something, you know. The toe's already been put in the water by the Occupy Wall Street people. Now, you don't have to go that particular route, but we can see that they got national attention, worldwide attention to this matter. Would you maybe reconsider marshaling your forces, so to speak, and to have some kind of a nationwide march against all of this? Because, you know, the ACLU is not coming to our aid or any of these traditional...
Sure, sure. I'll say this. Ron Paul is speaking to crowds of 5, 10, 12,000 people almost every day. And next time I talk to Ron Paul, which I know we're close to getting him back on, I will advise him. Look, point these youth afterwards, say, I'm going to lead you in a march to your state capitol where we're going to demand your state stand up, say, against the TSA. And so I'll say Ron Paul, you know, really in the twilight of his career here, but where he's at is most powerful. He needs now to marshal people more than I can. So I appreciate your call. And at the same time, they have big marches in D.C. all the time of even hundreds of thousands of people, and the media doesn't cover it. Do you see the media covering Ron Paul having 10,000 people a day at rallies? No. So Ron Paul needs to point those crowds at occupying for liberty for a few days, major targets in the area to force media coverage.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Okay, I want to go back to your phone calls here, and then I am going to get to Study Links Autism with Industrial Food and Environmental Toxins. April is Autism Awareness Month, and boy, everybody's going to get aware of it, because now adults are getting autism-like neurological disorders, even at a young age. And because there are so many toxins in our food and water, and then you go ahead and shoot somebody up with some more vaccines on top of it, and you are going to have a big, big problem. And again, I'll get into climate alarmist calls for burning down skeptics' homes, and that's Forbes. Forbes is, again, also saying that Bill Gates is a hero, and those that are worried about autism are zeros. That's an actual quote. Headline, Bill Gates a hero? People concerned about autism? Well, they are zeros. Now, the stuff gets me so angry all the time that A, it exhausts me by early in the day, and B, I can barely contain myself at just how naked and open the evil is. The system is getting desperate, and so they're throwing everything they've got against the population. But I just think about the fact that they're saying anybody concerned about autism is a piece of trash. Bill Gates, a eugenicist, is a hero. Ben Bernanke is a hero. Atlantic Monthly, they're now attacking us today for being concerned about tracker tech in cars and other appliances, which is admitted by the CIA to be listening and watching everybody in live time illegally. Google for 6 years admits they're using onboard microphones and cameras to watch you illegally. They've now been sued last week by a big public interest group over the fact they're wiretapping people's homes without warrants. It's totally illegal. But Forbes says we should have our houses burned down. You're not going to see the Secret Service over there talking to them, because the Secret Service doesn't care if you get your house burned down. You know, these, quote, environmentalists, not what they are, they're terrorists, saying, give us control of the economy, let us run everything, and we're going to burn down your ski resort, we're going to burn down your house you build in Oregon. They've killed people in the last few years where people were in a home and they burned the thing down. Well, there was one case I saw where it was a handicapped person and they couldn't get out. If you go down to Zilker Park, where I live in Austin, Texas, and you pull up in the parking area, there's glass littering windshield glass, side windshield glass everywhere. You know, the shatter type. Not the front windshield, but the side windows. And it's a little known secret. Some know it. It's somewhat of a public secret. The police know it. That if you park your SUV down there and take your children to the park or go swim at Barton Springs, the environmentalists knock your windows out or bare minimum key your car up one side and down the other. Doesn't matter if you've got three or four children and your wife. Doesn't matter if you're a carpenter and you need an SUV. It's their little way of punishing you. And Al Gore says, time to get aggressive. Time to get outside the law. Time for an environmental spring. Let me tell you something. I catch anybody trying to burn my house down, you're going to get a lead spring. And so Forbes is saying, keep track of people and track them down, find their homes in Forbes, and burn their house down. They need to be arrested, just like the new Black Panther Party feds. Just like I said, Hal Turner should be arrested. Tells you he was a fed. It turned out he was. I demand the arrest, because this isn't flippant in this election like Braveheart, we need to chop their heads off. Clearly hyperbole, and he said in the unedited tape, that's why the Secret Service said no issue, no investigation. They saw the full tape. He was saying metaphorically, but the George Soros connected group cut the video up. The unedited video, just like NBC edited a video to make George Zimmerman sound like a racist, they edited the tape. He said, in this election, we need to literally kill ourselves to get this done, metaphorically. We need to politically take no prisoners. I mean, if I say we need to politically take no prisoners in a zoning fight, does that mean kill everybody? No, it doesn't. But when you say, find the climate skeptics' homes, go to their homes, I have the quotes right here, and kill them, burn their houses down. In fact, guys, do me a favor. Call Paul Watson if he's not out, and I'll get him on Skype. I want to talk to him on air after I take some calls, because I just had a realization. We need to get a compendium article together to show that the fake environmentalist power grabbers, this mafia, this eugenics gang, is giving orders out everywhere. Well, they say stop, ignore democracy, shut things down. Arrest people that disagree with us. Arrest Lord Monckton. Arrest all these people. In fact, we ought to get on the nightly news tonight, Mark Moreno. I know Rob Dew's in there listening, to get him to talk about this, because this is a new level. It was just hitting me again that I've become so accustomed to them saying, kill us, burn us, arrest us. This is like the Nazis saying, when we get power, we're going to start arresting and killing people. You better listen. Or the Soviets saying, when we get power, we're going to do this. I mean, you better listen. They're authoritarians. They mean business. They mean business. I mean, they attack bulldozers. They put spikes in trees. Some poor logger sawing through it in some renewable resource. And it kills them. Last time I checked, it's in the 50s, the people that have been killed just by spikes. You're running a big industrial chainsaw, you hit that, man, it's that chain flies out, hits your throat like a razor blade, 100 miles an hour across your neck. And they think it's funny. Meanwhile, the honeybees are dying from the GMO. You could care less. Meanwhile, all the real environmental degradation at Lord Monckton, overfishing, toxic waste dumping, all that's real. There's real environmental problems. But paying carbon taxes to Al Gore and calling for burning down my house? You gonna burn down my house? Let me tell you something. They've already killed people. And now you've got Forbes, one of the most respected outfits there is, period. This is absolutely incredible. Yeah, tell Paul I want to dial him on Skype right now or put him on the phone, but his phone's terrible. Well, his phone's not terrible. He's 7,000 miles away from us in England. Climate alarmist calls for burning down skeptics' home. Writing for Forbes magazine, climate change alarmist Steve Zwick. Well, he's not even an alarmist now. He's calling for terrorist acts. Calls for skeptics of man-made global warming to be tracked, hunted down, and have their homes burned to the ground. Yet another shocking illustration of how eco-fascism is rife with the environmentalist lobby. Let me tell you, these aren't strong enough words, Paul. When you're, and we've got his quotes here, saying, come after us, burn our houses down. If I got on air and said, I'm not saying this, but you know, this senator didn't do what we wanted, or Obama says we're under UN control and our military is. Go burn the White House down. Folks, there would be police here in 20 minutes if I said, if I organized through a major media outlet, which we have millions of listeners and readers, it would not be their just their duty. It would be an absolute command that I be arrested. If I told people to do that. Instead, climate alarmist calls for burning down skeptics' homes. Comparing climate change skeptics to residents in Tennessee who pay a $75 fee, resulting in firemen sitting back and watching their houses burn down. Zwick rants that anyone who actively questions global warming propaganda should face the same treatment. We know who the active denialists are. Not the people who buy the lies, mind you, but the people who create the lies. Oh, we're all liars because we expose Al Gore as an admitted liar who makes computer graphics of polar bears that can't swim dying when they're the greatest land animal swimmer and hunt by swimming on top ice floes. Or lying about the hockey stick, or lying about carbon dioxide increases preceding temperature increases when it's the other way around, or lying about ice samples, or lying in the emails about hiding the decline in temperature in the last 15 years. This is what we're talking about. And again, it's an even worse call because he's like, they're endangering us, we've got to get them. That's a real call to action. We know who the active denialists are, not the people who buy the lies, mind you, but the people who create the lies. Let's start keeping track of them now. We're keeping track of you, pal, as somebody calling for violence. And when the famines come, because the globalists are cutting the food supplies off, that's what Agenda 21 is. Under the rule is to shut the food off, then they say we created the famine. See how that works? Let's make them pay. Let's let their houses burn. Let's swap their safe land for submerged islands. Yeah, that's the real commie banker dream, the Rothschild Rockefeller dream, take our property. Again, they create the global meltdown, then they come and redistribute. They tell the big poor hordes of people that didn't get ready, oh, it's their fault, get them. Let's force them to bear the cost of rising food prices. Adding, they broke the climate. Why should the rest of us pay for it? See, we need to be arrested, we need to have our land taken, we need to have our houses burned down. And there's all these other quotes where these people are saying similar things to this. As we have profusely documented, as polls show, fewer and fewer Americans are convinced by the pseudoscience behind mainland global warming, promulgated as it is by control freaks like Zwick, who care more about money and power than they do the environment. AGW adherents are becoming increasingly authoritarian in their pronouncements, and it goes through it. While we're getting Watson on Skype, we close to that. Let's go to a call here, Rico in Canada. Rico, what do you make of this where they're now saying burn our houses down?
Very dangerous, where it's heading, very fascistic. But that's definitely the climate where it's going.
That's right. Fascism labeled as liberalism.
Correct.
What's on your mind, sir?
There's a quote that you had quoted a while back. There's like two points I want to put. There's a quote that you had put a while back saying the duty of the state is to, what was it again? My God, I had it in my head. The duty of the state is to, make war. That's like the affairs of the state. I remember, I love that quote, so I remembered it. It's actually, because he had quoted it, the Germans got it from Sun Tzu, The Art of War, and also the Book of Lord Shang. It's another book that was written around the warring state spirit.
Yeah, I think the quote you're referring to is, war is the health of the state.
That's it. The affair of the state, yes. Yeah, that's a quote from Sun Tzu and the Book of Lord Shang. That's correct.
And that's why it's a war economy. Everything is the government and its allied crime corporations waging war on everybody else. War on drugs is their war to have a monopoly on the drugs that they ship in. The war on illiteracy is to make sure you're totally dumbed down. The war on nationalism, the war on men, the war on women, the war on the family.
But yeah, anytime that there's a so-called war, it always gets worse. That's just what I've seen.
No, exactly. When they say they want to help women, yeah, they want to put you in a pine box.
Correct. Yeah. And there was also, I was looking forward because you were talking about how you were going to get some historians on talking about how Capone ran the booze on the train and it was a government train. I was really looking forward.
Yeah, I don't know why. It's like we can get guests all the time. I brought them the names, the numbers. And if I particularly beg for a guest, it ain't happening. So I went to Hot Springs. I started doing some of the interviews with people, and I said, no, it's just better to get you on. And then it never happened. And I will try to get that done because I was there going to different historical societies, and they were just had all the documents where the government actually had the monopoly with insiders. Capone worked with them. The Rockefellers were big in it. It was amazing information. Thank you so much. For your call. Yeah, that's something that we did, and video I shot, and it's weird. I got a great crew, but it's strange. If I say I really want this, I think there's, I don't know, it's weird. It's weird. And I asked probably 25 times, you know, let's get those guests on, and I think it's always so immediate, whatever guest we're working on at that moment, that it then doesn't happen. So you might, hell might freeze over before that happens. Let's go ahead and talk to John in Texas. John, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex.
Hey, buddy.
Back when I was in high school in the mid-60s, I took a government course, and they talked about the antitrust laws and how Andrew Carnegie and John D. Rockefeller back in the early 1900s were trying to monopolize business and drive all the independents out. And if I remember correctly, it was Teddy Roosevelt that helped get the antitrust laws passed. And that's where the term comes from, speak softly and carry a big stick. The big stick was to break up these monopolies. But what I'm asking is, what happened to the antitrust laws? You don't hear about them anymore.
It was all a giant hoax. The private banks lobbied against the Federal Reserve Act, knowing that they were the enemy and discredited. They lobbied against the Federal Reserve Act and said, please don't throw me in the briar patch. And, of course, you know the rabbit wants to be thrown in the briar patch. Okay, oh, you've captured me. Please eat me. Don't throw me in the briar patch. Okay, so... that's happening. And it was the same thing with the Sherman Antitrust Act. The people knew there were monopolies. They knew they'd robbed everybody. They had big gangs of goons, paramilitary, that would come take your land. People started fighting back. So they said, okay, we'll break it up. So they broke Standard Oil up into 10 pieces, later two more, so 12 pieces. They broke all these up, but they never really got rid of them. It was just different flavors. And it's like in England, they have, you know, two major retailers for groceries, but it's owned by the same group. It's just different subsidiaries. And so there was no antitrust act. None of that happened. None of that was real. And to get around it, things like IBM created Microsoft, and they picked the son of a top eugenicist to do it. It's all fake. Steve Jobs, people like that, they're fronts as well. And actually, you can go do research in it and discover all that. So it's all just a handful of old families running the entire thing. Good questions. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Watson's Skype is down. He's going to be on the nightly news tonight anyway, so I'm not going to get Watson up here with us right now. I just wanted to point out that when they say, hey, let's start burning people's houses down in Forbes, if you don't agree with them, I mean, that sounds like the Soviet Red Terror or something. I mean, it's just right out of really dangerous authoritarian moves to bully us. And you notice the Justice Department only goes after people like the right-wing Hatari militia that said, yeah, it's too bad the government's getting tyrannical. We might have to defend ourselves one day. All arrested. But giving you some faith, the judge has said, release them, drop the charges. The feds, of course, haven't. Now, continuing here, ahead of more of your calls, I'm going to get to more of this later because I could spend an hour on it. But this is a report we've got up at Infowars.com. It's from Living Green Mag. So a lot of stuff that real environmentalists have got right. Like, hey, let's get the heavy metals out of our food. Got the Washington Post reporting on half of the corn syrups or more have high levels of lead in them or mercury. And continuing, there is a new big study out published in the Clinical Epigenetics directly, and there's a bunch of other studies showing this too, the massive increase in autism linked amongst other toxins in the environment to the fact that, see, what's happening on air is I'm getting distracted because we have document cams in here, and this is like a TV show, but I can't direct it because the document cam isn't in the right place like it is on the nightly news. So constantly I'm fighting to try to like show documents, just no more document cam until we get it fixed. No more. No more. It's driving me to the ends of madness right now. I mean, I am just so angry right now. I'm about to go completely insane. There's got to be a way to mount cameras in here where we can see the stuff. I mean, there's just it's somewhere in life on Earth. There's got to be. I mean, hell. Okay, just a minute. The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that the system knows full well that these empty foods with no minerals in them to speak of, grown on played-out soils using toxic fertilizers, are bioaccumulating in the food all these heavy metals and toxins, but also we don't have minerals. And minerals, healthy minerals, good minerals, the study shows, bind with the toxins and take them out of your body. So our children are full of all these poisons and then don't have the minerals. And here comes the infomercial, because it is revolutionizing. We have a handyman that does stuff, you know, every once in a while around our house, who's lost 30-something pounds in a couple months and couldn't believe it because he listens to the show on Tangy Tangerine that doesn't even advertise his weight loss beyond Tangy Tangerine. My mother has lost 30-something pounds. Aaron Dykes lost over 90. I've lost over 40, and I'm still eating the same stuff. All of it just flushing out of your body. It's amazing. It's just incredible. Because it's not just that you need these for your body. They flush you. These raw organic minerals, not the fake things you get in these pills that most of the people sell. I'm telling you, they know what they're doing at Youngevity. It's discounted at InfoWars.com. You can get free shipping when you sign up for AutoShip. Check into that. That's a big deal. You can sign up, be a distributor, and get 10% off. And again, InfoWarsTeam.com. It is amazing product, and I really believe in it. I only promote what I have seen for myself to have dramatic, powerful effects. Beyond Tangy Tangerine at InfoWarsTeam.com. There's also a phone number there to order on the website. But this is already what Dr. Wallach has been saying, and here's another study. The minerals flush you.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, we've got guests coming up here in about 8 minutes. I want to take some more of your calls now. We'll also take calls while the guests are on with us. I appreciate everybody holding. We're going to go to Abe in Ohio, listening on WAIS 770 AM. Then we're going to go to TJ in Georgia, listening on WJOC 1490. And sorry I'm getting mad earlier. I'm not mad at my crew. I'm not mad at anybody. This is just a real show with a real person. And I get in here and read all this news, and I just get angry. You know, you got Forbes saying burn down our houses. And you got them killing everybody's kids, feeding them this garbage food with heavy metals in it. And you got Forbes making jokes about it. Tell you, Forbes lately is like the devil or something, man. I'm seeing the worst, most, they must have hired, I used to see good stuff out of Forbes. It's like they've hired a bunch of demons over there. All these little kids that are brain damaged aren't funny. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to shut up. Abe in Ohio, go ahead.
Hi, Alex. How's it going?
Nice, man, I tell you. If you're not angry. Yeah,
I know how you feel. It's like the quote Barry Goldwater here, extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. But I'm calling from Athens, Ohio, and I've been on a couple times before, and we're battling city council trying to get the toxic substance, hexafluorosilic acid, more commonly labeled fluoride, out of our water here. And we're being hit at every front. There's about a group of 10 of us that go every other Monday to city council and speak during the citizen output. And after this last one, they have threatened to amend the city council rules to limit the amount or just flat out get rid of citizen health speak, because we're coming there and controlling half the meeting is us basically saying we don't want to. But besides that, even if they do shut us down.
And think about it. Then you have these scumbags laughing at you when you've got almost every scientist in the FDA and EPA saying it's massively increased cancer, get it out. I mean, it's a fact. It's deadly poison, and under that name, they add hundreds of other chemicals. Our kids are brain damaged. They're murdering us. You tell them, stop assaulting me, scumbag, filth, maggot!
I totally agree, Alex, and that's what we're doing. We got Dr. Paul Conant. He's agreed to come to Athens to give a forum and debate the Ohio EPA if we can get it on the ballot. And we're only a few signatures away from getting it on the ballot. And it's we're doing good. And it's caused me to get upset and run against the city council president who's running for treasurer in our county. I'm running against him now.
And good. And listen, when they laugh at you, you tell them, listen here, scum, don't you laugh at me while you're brain damaging kids, aiding and abetting this, you little piece of trash. Their little giggle thing where they make fun of us, we don't need to go, oh, don't call me. We need to say, shut up, scum. You treat me with respect as a citizen, you filthy piece of trash.
Totally agree, Alex. That's the way it should be. We need to get upset about this. But just my last thing, and I'll let you get some other callers. I'm running against this city council president, and he's been railing against us. And I'm running as a treasurer as a libertarian. And I know you didn't say you really couldn't do this, but I need all the financial stability I can to fight this Democratic.
I know. Here's the thing. I want to support all of you guys. It's okay if people throw a website out. It's just always then we don't screen the calls, so every call will be, I did this, I did that. Everybody should get behind everybody locally. You should meet everybody wherever you are in the country and fight this tyranny 110%. We're going to come back and go to TJ before we go to our guest. because I've said I'm going to TJ, and then we'll continue with Richard and Sam and Peter and everybody else. We'll get to everybody. And again, we've got to do the long haul. We've got to be healthy. We've got to be in shape fighting this. We can't let it get to us too much, like I do sometimes. But it's a balance. You can't then be so comfortable with it, you don't get angry and take action. Because, look, I've seen the Austin City Council top scientists come in to tell them, you know, major university professors to tell them they're putting poison in the water, and the mayor gets up and walks off laughing. You know what? It's not funny, punk. It's not funny, punk. You see all the cancer exploding? It's not funny, punk. You understand me?
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Of this hour, we're going to be looking at a war against independence, a war against self-sufficiency, a war against farming and ranching and gardening and lemonade stands, garage sales for that matter. I mean, the system admits it's happening. This is a film well worth the watch. That's what the Washington Post said. Part consumer rights advocacy, part abuse of power expose. That's the New York Times. Farmageddon, the unseen war on American family farms, an eye-popping wake-up call, the LA Times. We're going to be talking to the director of the film here in a moment and to one of the victims of the system. And this film is available discounted at Infowars.com, and your purchase supports us and then also the filmmakers, and you get free bumper stickers and a citizen rule book with every order at Infowars.com. Farmageddon available right now. We have it in stock to ship it directly out to you. And hopefully you can show it to people in your area and wake them up to what's happening and give it to local farmers in your area so they understand the predatory major corporations lobbying government to shut down their competition. The Food Safety Act last year, they gave almost, was it 17 million? I said 15, that's wrong. 17 million in 1 week, a record, to try to pass that bill to where you can't even can strawberries yourself. I mean, just total police state. And you're like, oh, that'll never happen. Oh, yeah, it's worse than that. We're going to go to them here in just a moment. All over the country, they're killing people's pigs, saying they're feral. They're not letting people sell milk to their neighbors or cheese or cabbages. I mean, it's just they're raiding whole food companies with guns drawn. I mean, it's bizarre. Again, where's Obama the hippie? They're not hippies. That's their cover, folks. Look what he's doing with the marijuana dispensaries. I mean, it's about total control. That's coming up in just a moment. But I promised to get to more calls today, so I'm going to finish up with TJ in Georgia, a WJOC 1490 AM listener. TJ, you're on the air. Welcome.
Well, thanks a lot. Alex, thanks so much for what you do. I don't know how you carry the cross, but even us little soldiers are fighting a pretty good fight for you. And I collect all your DVDs. I got 105. And the one thing I wanted to ask you, after looking at all these DVDs and handing them out like Coca-Cola, you know, you say using their system against them, and Jim Tucker says good works are done in the sunshine, but do we, as fighters of this good fight, do we have people, a secret society of our own? People, you know, good knights and paladins with a noble heart who, you know, believe in this fight but are trying to use their system against them, as far as, let's use a little secrecy, too. We don't have to always be in the open. Do we have anything going like that? You know, I obviously don't mention the name of the secret group, but are we fighting behind the scenes as well, do you think?
Well, of course, secrecy is in organizations where you have to have secrecy. Government, corporations, there are groups of people that love freedom throughout the system. That's the reason we still have part of the republic. That's the reason people are waking up. That's the reason, you know, that a lot of us are able to do what we do. But, you know, we have the truth, so secrecy is a disadvantage to us when we're out in the open. But, you know, if somebody's going to spray paint the front of a building, you know, a government building or something, they better keep that secret. I'm not saying they should do that. You know, the environmental fakes who are blocking real environmental issues we have are saying burn down people that don't want to pay Al Gore carbon taxes. You know, Forbes says burn down somebody's house. mark down our names, burn our houses down. And I'm like, hey, you got hundreds of cross-species crops being planted that are causing mutations in every species that eat them. You've got serious other environmental issues. I don't want to have a global tax, you know, for carbon dioxide. And they're like, we'll burn your house down. I mean, that's in the news today. So you asked the question, I can barely organize what I'm doing here. And secret organizations, they can then infiltrate people to create secret criminal plots to then set you up in them. So my beacon, my North Star is total transparency and openness. Other than my journalistic hat, people say, now this is in confidence, and it happens all the time, and I'm known for not blowing confidence with people. And let me tell you, that word has gone out in the system, in media, in government, that A, in business, I don't cheat people. I always do what I say I'm going to do. B, I don't tell my sources. And so I'm known as somebody who, so I guess there. I guess I'm a journalist. That's a secret system. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so. And one quick point, do you believe, just like Saddam Hussein jumped down a spider hole and Hitler killed himself, if we corner these roaches with the light of the sunshine and fighting the fight like you and all of us are doing, what do you think these people will do when we finally get them cornered? Just bite into a cyanide capsule like the cowards they are?
Yes, there is a good chance that's exactly what will happen. But, I mean, again, it's a corrupt system. Society itself has been corrupt. We empower evil when we do evil things, when we compromise, when we do bad things. And it doesn't mean we're ever going to be perfect. But, again, it's little things that are going to turn things around.
No dark sarcasm in the classroom. Teacher, leave them kids alone.
Of enemy propaganda rolling across the picket line. Lay down, G.I., lay down, G.I. We saw it all through the 20th century. And now in the 21st century, it's time to stand up and realize that we should not allow ourselves to be crammed into this rat maze. We should not submit to dehumanization. I don't know about you, but I'm concerned with what's happening in this world. I'm concerned with the structure. I'm concerned with the systems of control. Those that control my life and those that seek to control it even more. I want freedom! That's what I want, and that's what you should want!
It's up to each and every one of us to turn loose just some of the greed, the hatred, the envy, and yes, the insecurities, because that is the central mode of control. Make us feel pathetic, small, so we'll willingly give up our sovereignty, our liberty, our destiny. We have got to realize that we're being conditioned on a mass scale. Start challenging this corporate slave state. The 21st century is going to be a new century. Not the century of slavery, not the century of lies and issues of no significance, and classism, statism, and all the rest of the modes of control. It's going to be the age of humankind standing up for something pure and something right.
What a bunch of garbage, liberal, Democrat, conservative, Republican. It's all there to control you, two sides of the same coin.
Two management teams bidding for control, the CEO job of Slavery Incorporated. The truth is out there in front of you, but they lay out this buffet of lies. I'm sick of it, and I'm not going to take a bite out of it. Do you got me? Humankind is too good. We're not a bunch of underachievers. We're going to stand up, and we're going to be human beings. We're going to get on the real things, the things that matter. Creativity and the dynamic human spirit that refuses to submit. Well, that's it. That's all I got to say. It's in your court.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back live here today. And we do have our guest coming up at the bottom of the hour. I'll go to break and come back with more of your calls. I look at the news here, and I look at autism going from 1 in 25,000 plus to 1 in 50-something now. The media is always reporting a two-year-old number. It was 1 in 80-something, then 1 in 60-something. I see the damaged children everywhere. I see the globalists making jokes about it. I know their plan. I know their program. I know Bill Gates is paying the media to say he's a superhero. Actually say he's a superhero. I see men acting like children, women acting like dumb whores. I see this whole society as a Sodom and Gomorrah falling down on itself. And all I want to do is defeat these New World Order people. I mean, they're so out in the open, and they're coming for us. We've got to stop them. I was looking at my sheet wrong, and nobody noticed I was announcing the wrong time for the guest to be on. They're coming up at the bottom of the hour. I'm not even so much having a bad day. I'm actually having a very focused day, and that's why I am trying to learn to not blow up, because then it exhausts me. So instead, I blow up even worse and just get super irritated and super irritable, and I'm normally a very happy person. It's just, it's so confirmed that in a lot of these processed foods, on purpose, it's full of heavy metals, Grignard reagents. It's killing people. It's horrible. It's a horror movie. And I want it to stop. And then a guy calls in and talks about his city council laughing at him when he goes and talks about taking fluoride out. And I know what that means. I know. I've seen it myself. And I know that under the name fluoride, they put several hundred deadly chemicals in your water. And it's just, I'm mad at myself. I'm going to be honest with you. Because the real response to somebody assaulting your family like that is to physically go after them. But then I realize how the game's played. They're set up for that, and I'll lose, and we'll lose if we don't. So I attack them with psychic violence. And that's not even done consciously. And by psychic, I mean throwing my words, my anger, my disgust at them. I want to take back the levers of power. I want to restore sanity and decency. I cannot look at a photograph of Bill Gates, okay? I mean, I know who they are. It's like serial killers running free with TV everywhere saying they're superheroes. I mean, I want it to stop. And I've got to find a balance, because my rage and my focus is why we've been so successful. But at the same time, it's not good. This is not an act. I feel like right now I could take on like 10 people. I mean, you know that feeling. I mean, I am just viciously angry, viciously disgusted, and viciously tired of the pig people that run our society. And I'm angry, too, that I have to put myself in danger fighting them. I wish more people just wake up. We could sweep these people aside. I'm angry. And you've got to get angry, too, and then take action. Richard in Kansas, thanks for holding.
Glad to hold anytime, man.
What's on your mind, brother?
Seems to me that calling to burn our houses down is another desperate scare tactic by the Illuminati to get everybody to give up their rights and go, oh, here's our money, here's our money.
Well, it shows what scum they are. I mean, do they think when they they're already doing it? Everybody, look, I get my hair cut and hear the woman three things down saying global warming's all a fraud and all the women agreeing. You know, and I get my hair cut at a trendy place just because it's by my house. The point is that people are waking up. They're buying 5 million guns a month. I just want to make sure everybody knows who the enemy is. So we don't all just fight with each other. Bunch of whites and blacks killing each other, or Hispanics and killing each other. It's all bull. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly. People need to let things like race and religion, social status, these kind of walls need to just be dropped. These are curves that are about a half inch high that only a person dragging their feet cannot step above at this point.
I think they're miscalculating with all these calls for violence against us, or I guess they're trying to get hyped up to do it. I mean, look, that's what I'm saying. Everybody that wants violence, let's work against it, and then when they start the fights, you know what to do. You understand? But you, we must let them attack first because we must have the moral authority. Do you understand those that are being attacked have the real power? Do you understand that universal law?
Exactly. You always have to be prepared to let the enemy throw the first punch. You just have to prepare yourself to be able to handle the first punch and then defend yourself from there.
That's right. That's why I tell the New World Order, I love life so much, strike me down. Because I don't want to die, but I take that power away from you. I am committed. And I just wish people knew how real this is. I mean, I've told the stories of being physically attacked, people calling up, threatening to kill me, and letting me know they were listening to my phone conversations to let me know. Like, that intimidates me. All that did was put 10 years of fire in my gas tank. You know, the point is, the general public listening, I want you to understand something. This is real. I've talked to high-level people in Fox News who are convinced and they know Breitbart was killed. But they're too cowardly to report it. Okay? This is real, folks. This is real. This is real. We have stinking criminals in the White House, stinking criminals over the Justice Department, stinking criminals in the CIA, not everybody under them. But at the top, our country has been hijacked. Anything else?
Basically, that to the same people that you're addressing, to everyone that's listening, prepare yourself for the big punch. The right cross is coming. Just be ready to take it and be ready to hit them back as hard as they hit you.
Or to step out of the way and karate chop them right in the neck in the info war. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Thank you so much for joining us. The director of Pharmageddon, Kristen Canty, is our guest, and she's also joined us with Linda Fallis, who has been a victim of the establishment persecution for her evil farming activities. But the point is, we're told, get sustainable, get back to the land. But then there's a massive rural council, federal, state governments, harassing people, can't have gardens in your yard, even on your own property, can't have chickens in the country, zoning, total control, animal ID, premises ID. This film is so professional. Pharmageddon, and it goes over all this information. It is available at Infowars.com, and it's won a lot of awards. The LA Times called it an eye-popping wake-up call. Kristen, tell us about the film, why you decided to make it, break down some of the most important points, and then introduce us to the author you've gone on with us, who has been persecuted and is similar to the stories that are in your film.
Thank you. I made the film because I found out about the farm raids. I met people from the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund, and they asked me to have a fundraiser for them. I didn't know what they did, and when I researched it, I found out that they were defending all these farmers for free that had been raided. And so I researched all the raids and just got really angry about it, that these people were just trying to supply food for their neighbors. People were forming co-ops in order to get food from their neighbors, in order to get food from neighboring farms.
Humans were going back to normal human activity, and the big corporations don't like that.
And the government was raiding them for it. So I decided to make a movie about it.
Well, it's an incredible film, and it's so well done. How long did it take you to make it? It's being very well received. It's a great tool to show the coordinated mafia attacks on farming communities. And then why do you think the system is so upset about evil people farming?
It took me about 2.5 years to make, and basically the answer that the government will give you, the answer that, I was very grateful when government officials did speak on my film because it was very hard to get them to speak, and the answer that they'll give you always is it's in the name of food safety, to keep us safe. And so so Linda will tell you her story, and she was raided, and her sheep were killed, and it also in the name of food safety.
And let's go to Linda. Linda, tell us your story that you then put in your book, Mad Sheep, author of Mad Sheep.
Thanks, Alex. What happened with us is that we had a family farm. It's called Three Shepherds in honor of our three children, because each of our children were very involved with the farm. And we worked closely with the USDA, imported sheep from Belgium and the Netherlands, went through all the hoops that we had to jump through. We had 2 months of quarantine over in Europe, a month quarantine here in the United States, that all the sheep passed with flying colors. 2 years after the animals were here, they were all settled, and we had lots of lambs on the ground. They were doing well. We had a thriving business. USDA shows up at our farm and says that they were concerned that because our sheep came from Europe, they could be susceptible to mad cow disease, even though there's no sheep in the world that's ever had mad cow disease. My husband and I and the children lived in England for 3 years, and I worked with the professor, Eric Lamming, who set public policy for mad cow disease. So it was something I was very familiar with. My husband has a PhD in animal science. So we approached everything from a very scientific perspective. And we kept telling USDA, there's nothing wrong with our sheep. We offered all sorts of options. After this had gone on for 2 years, we said, okay, take the originals and test them. If they all test negative, let us keep the offspring. And to make a very long story short, it fell on deaf ears, and at 5:30 in the morning, 17 days before an appeals court hearing that we had, USDA showed up with 42 armed federal agents and USDA officials, took our sheep, all of them, even the lambs, took them out to Iowa and killed all of them for a disease that doesn't exist to this day.
And let's be clear, they're coming out with cloned cows, pigs, GMO, toxic waste fed to them, all honeybees dying, pharmacological crops that grow toxins in them. All that's great, but they use that as a pretext to harass people. Have you heard about the case now where they're killing people's pigs, saying that they could be feral instead of dealing with the actual feral hog problem that I'm told is not very bad in Michigan? Have you heard about that newest case?
Yes, I have. And there's been, you know, they're forcing the farmers to kill pigs. And I've heard that if any of the pigs have black on them, where over in China, all the pigs are black, and USDA imported Chinese pigs into Nebraska, and then some of those pigs were sold to farmers because they're extremely prolific. And that was actually why my husband and I went to Britain, was he was studying these Chinese Meishan pigs and trying to figure out why they were so prolific. So here, a breed of pig that has now been bred with American pigs, if any of the animals have black on them, the USDA is now making the animals be killed.
But I'm not a farmer, but I've done ranching. I've worked for a large animal vet. And, I mean, I went to the livestock show with my children a few weeks ago because they're small, like to look at animals. And they had, sometimes they have 20, 30 different types of pigs. This year they didn't have that many. But most of them have red hair, black spots, black hair. I mean, most breeds of pig look like this. And now they're just saying a pig has black or red on them, they're dead. And people are like, my pigs are penned up. And, of course, it's Big Agro wants to kill all these other pig herds that are out there. Just incredible.
Right. When we met with the USDA and asked them why they were going after us, they said they were under political pressure from the pharmaceutical and the beef industry. And so they admitted that there was nothing wrong with our sheep, and they actually used our sheep. A USDA whistleblower came forth and has evidence that they used the sheep to get $450 million in funding to upgrade some laboratory facilities they have in Iowa.
No, I remember. They wanted to piggyback. I mean, your case was in the news at the time. They wanted to piggyback the fear of the foot and mouth and then the fear of mad cow over there as a pretext. And they did all sorts of stuff like that over here. And it's all part of these publicity stunts. Just amazing. Let's continue going back to the director here, Kristen. Kristen, give us some of the other stories you break down in the film.
There's a Mennonite farmer who was just, supplying food in a private buying club to his community in Pennsylvania. This was in Pennsylvania. And in Pennsylvania, raw milk is actually legal to sell out of stores. But in many of these cases, the consumers also want cheese, cream, and yogurt, and those. And you're not allowed to sell those things.
And let's be clear, Whole Foods, 2 miles from me, sells raw milk-made cheese. And as long as it's from bigger firms and go through the elitist stuff, it's okay. But how dare these Amish or Mennonites, though, do it? It's very, I mean, how dare you have that delicious cheese?
Raw cheese has to be aged over 60 days. But some people want the choice of having the other raw cheeses that aren't aged over 60 days, and the raw yogurt and the cream. And that's all not legal in the eyes of, I don't think there's any state government that allows the raw yogurt and the raw cream. So they formed a private buying club so that they could purchase directly from this farmer. And at first, the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture said that this was okay. And then, as in the other cases, as it became more popular or as someone else took charge, they didn't like it anymore. And so they raided this farmer, took away $60,000 worth of his milking equipment, took away all of the food, and let it rot, and terrorized the farmer and his children. So
just outrageous. Yes. But it's so prolific. What do you guys think of the latest case of the gentleman who'd had chickens for over a decade, was popular in the community? The town had expanded, and they told him you can't have chickens. They wanted his land for a green space, and they blew his house up. Looks like they killed him, and they won't. And they tell our reporters they can't film or even film the city building, and that there's no First Amendment in that town in Georgia, there in Roswell, Georgia.
Yeah, I think that chicken farmer killed himself.
Well, no, the police say he did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't just believe Boss Hogg when they tell me something.
This is happening more and more often where, the USDA just said that they wanted the large chicken processing plants to regulate themselves. And yet I have 11 chickens in my backyard, and I have an 11-page document saying how I need to take care of my animals. And an inspector comes, and I pay $50, and they come out once a year to make sure that my animals have enough space.
Yeah, they're parasites. You've got animals out in the open, I see this all the time, but if you've got them chained with their feet growing into the floor, being fed toxic food and antibiotics and GMOs and hormones that we all eat, that's beautiful and wonderful. And folks, I've been inside these big million chicken facility areas. It's like hell on earth. You've got to wear breathing masks. The animals are half dead. You're eating all the meat with the toxins in it, but they are harassing people and small farms everywhere. It's time to stop paying the parasite commissar that money. Where do you live?
Concord, Massachusetts.
Unbelievable. So they just show up, and the government has to make sure you're allowed to do that.
They do. They do. They need to make sure that my chickens are okay and that they have enough space. But I'm only feeding myself with my eggs. So it is funny that the people that are feeding the masses are allowed to crowd their chickens and feed them whatever they want and feed them waste and get away with it, where people that are just feeding themselves and their small communities and their neighbors seem to be the ones that are being harassed.
Yeah, going in one of these big facilities, it's like going to a horror movie. I mean, words can't describe it. I ought to go into one sometime. I haven't been in one in like 20 years, and because I've actually lived and worked in the country for a time. It is unbelievable. I mean, if I describe what these giant facilities are like, people wouldn't believe me. And again, they use animal cruelty laws to harass someone with their own chickens for their own house and their own family. Mm-hmm. But, happy chickens, hopping around in the yard, in the tree, whatever, jumping in your lap like domesticated chickens do, happy, not ever being eaten, not ever being killed. But then on top of it, you've got these giant facilities, and it's Big Agra riding all this. And notice, that's a pre-regulation on you, like you've done something wrong, so you can't be trusted. And now they're saying they want to inspect our gardens because we might be doing something wrong in those, too. Again, in America, you're not allowed to do something with your own garden. I mean, this isn't a free country.
Right. And the odd thing is that there's so much transparency with our neighborhood farmer. You can just walk onto their land and you can see how they're growing their food. You can make your own decision about whether you want to eat that food or not. But these large processing plants, you know, as I tried to get in them with my cameras, I tried to get in them when I was making my documentary. And of course, you're not allowed in them and you're certainly not allowed to film in them. And so now I have a rule that if a farmer won't let me film their property, then I won't eat their food.
Well, they are so scared, as you know. Talk to me, both of you ladies, about the movement I'm seeing, but give me your expert perspective on it. I'm seeing a huge exodus, especially by nouveau riche, middle class, upper middle class, but also working class, to rural areas and forming communities and really boosting the level of quality of life, the health of children. And I think this has really got the system scared. And there is a war against small farms and true sustainable living. And Farmageddon details this.
Yeah, and I think that's what the real value of Farmageddon is as a farmer, and a farmer, a scientist, someone who has the animals, who works the land, when USDA comes after you, they use all of their weight, and you think you're totally alone and you're just one person fighting against them, and that, you know, you just happen to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. And what Farmageddon demonstrates is we're not alone, that unfortunately this is happening all across the country. It's happening even up in Canada, and it's opening people's eyes and to showing, you know, that the government is not there to protect our food safety. If you want safe food, it's like Kristen said, you want to be able to go to your neighbor and go to your local farm, and that's where you're going to find food, you know, the good food. And I am seeing a lot of people heading out into the country and taking matters into their own control to keep their family healthy through what they feed them.
And I think this is the real revolution, is in health, is in vitamins, minerals, farming. Even if you live in the semi-rural area, just begin. And then that'll start making you think about what else you're eating from the store. But it's not just growing it yourself. Like you said, it's being in the communities where people are growing. Then you'll find out not just what's healthy, but who's got the really good stuff. And it's just, it's a real human community. And there's nothing like getting your feet in the black soil. There's nothing like integrating and hooking back in and finding your humanity.
Yes, totally.
Great. Yeah, that's scaring them, isn't it?
I think it is. And they just keep applying more and more pressure. You know, USDA has their own investigative and enforcement services, so it's literally their own police force. And when they came after our sheep and they couldn't find anything wrong with them, they did a criminal investigation to see if anything that when we imported the sheep was illegal. And they couldn't find anything wrong there. So then they did a personal criminal investigation of my husband, Larry. And I'm hearing this more and more.
Gibson Guitars has certified government legal wood that's already fallen. They've been investigating them off and on for 10 years. And last time I heard, just raided them again. Because they dare to make things in America.
Right.
And they've been told, move to China, you'll be totally left alone. They don't. There's a war against America.
It's bizarre. So the reason why I made this film is to give these farmers and these small business people a voice, because it just doesn't seem like they have a voice in the mainstream media. The government always gets the last word, and it's always the word of safety. Where if you watch my movie, my opinion is that they're barking up the wrong tree as far as safety is concerned. And like you said, condoning and allowing, you know, GMOs and chemicals in our food and, you know, animal cruelty and animal crowding. And then on the other side, harassing the small farmer who's trying to do things as best as they can.
Well, just the look of the film, too, and the shots, the talent that you brought to bear making this film. It's something everybody's got to see. Farmageddon, available at Infowars.com. Incredible. We're going to come back and continue with both you ladies and talk about some more of the stories in the film. Folks, I live in a farming community outside Austin. I have family that farms and ranches in East Texas, from, you know, cows to grapes. And let me tell you, they've got environmental spies everywhere harassing everybody, saying we're bad for the environment, and leaving Big Agra alone. This is serious fascism.
You take a mortal man and put him in control.
Going back to Linda Falaise. Linda, you're going to be leaving us here in about 5 minutes, and the director's going to stay with us for another 30 to get more into the film here and open the phones up for some of the farming victims out there who want to get involved on air. But what else can you share with us now that you've been a victim of this for so long? And earlier you were talking about that you've seen it intensifying now.
Yeah, I was hoping that what I had seen in Farmageddon and what I was reading, that it was going to make USDA and the FDA back off of attacking farmers. But unfortunately, it seems to be increasing. And the good thing is that people are not staying quiet. People are speaking up. People like Kristen are making a documentary and educating people out there. USDA spent $1 million, according to their own documents, $1 million watching us. And when we took them to court, we got the diaries of, we called them the goons, that were watching us. And the day was broken down into 15-minute segments. And it would say where each of our family members were. And you're talking about our daughters were 13 and 14, and our son is 15 years old. And they're keeping track of us. And to spend taxpayers' money doing that for disease, sheep that were not diseased, that were perfectly healthy for a disease that doesn't exist, is ridiculous, in my opinion. And we're just one of many people out there that this is happening to.
Well, it's true. And again, even the news has said, why is there a war against people? And it's these bureaucrats, and they act like it's dirty and bad. And what do you think of Rossum Foods or the lady that was going to go to jail for a garden in her yard, and there wasn't even a law against it, and the city said, well, we don't like it. I mean, it's just wild.
Right. The amount of power that the government has is incredible. And the person who ordered these criminal investigations of us was just a mid-level bureaucrat. And what's really bizarre is that you have all these organizations, such as the FDA and the USDA, that those are the people making the laws, not the people that we're electing, but the people that are not elected, people that get appointed. And I think there's a real imbalance of power there.
Well, and they also, again, just revel in harassing people. And this is all Agenda 21. That's what they're doing. They use environmental rules and other things to shut down the general economy. And then the globalists that write up all these world regulations, because it's being done universally across the planet, they are exempt. So it allows certain groups to operate and others not to. Kristen, do you have any comments to add to what she said on this point?
No, it just unfortunately, she's right. It does seem to be really ramping up. When I finished my movie, Rossum Foods had just had their second raid, and so that raid is in my movie. And after I finished, and actually the movie released theatrically, that's when they had another raid. And James and Sharon Palmer, I know that you've covered this extensively, and I appreciate it. You know, got thrown in jail for a number of days, and they were treated horribly, and they've been harassed. And Rossum Foods is completely shut down now. And there's been two other Amish farms that have been shut down, and every day I hear of a new farm that's being shut down. So I find it very sad that it's increasing, yeah, not decreasing.
No, it's a reign of terror, and it's outrageous. I want to thank Linda for joining us, her book, author of Mad Sheep. We're going to come back and talk to the director on the other side. The film is Farmageddon. Get it out to everyone you know. It's available at Infowars.com. We will expose and defeat these tyrants.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Kristen Canty is our guest for another 30 minutes. I know we got loaded phones that were on before I went to her. And I want to be able to talk to all those people, but I think it's important that we be able to talk to some of the farmers involved. So I'm going to do this. Guys, can we fire up our phone system here? Is that possible? I'm going to fire it up right now. The phone system isn't open yet. It'll open in about 2 minutes. So be ready for the phone calls to come in. We'll open it. You're able to get in for about a minute. 50 phone calls will come in. I'm going to open my phone system up instead of the Genesis phone system so you can get in. And then I'll try to get to the others later. Bill, Peter, Levi, Carol, and others that are holding there patiently. But if you're a farmer, rancher, your quick horror story in 60 seconds, or your good story of the loving federal government out of their jurisdiction, that's another issue. Now we have TSA at checkpoints on highways and with undercover spying on people on buses and restaurants. East Germany had it. Cuba has it. Why not us? All the science fiction dystopic movies do. Well, we got to have that. While John Corzine steals billions, the number to join us, if you're a farmer or rancher out there, is 877-789-ALEX, 877-789-ALEX, 877-789-2539. I'll get that out one more time when we come back from break. This is a short segment, but let's get back, Kristen, to the film itself and some of the other stories that are in it and why people need to see it.
Well, there's a woman in Ohio. I don't know if you covered this one, but it's the Manna Storehouse. And she found 40 Amish firms around her that had no way to get their product to market. So she had a great idea where 1 week she would go and get eggs from one farmer and vegetables from another and chicken and beef. And she brought it back to her house and she shared these duties with her neighbors. And so the next week, another neighbor would go around and collect all this food and bring it back. And so eventually it got bigger and bigger. And so the Ohio Department of Agriculture caught wind of it. And their response to that was to go in with, I think, as many as 11 armed agents. She had 8 kids in the house that were homeschooled, and they kept the family behind closed doors for 6 hours while they tore her house apart, stole her computers, took her cell phones. Her son was in Iraq at the time, and he was calling, and they wouldn't let her answer the phone, and they took their phones. And they took all of their meat and all of their food that was for their own consumption and for the co-op. All for a third-degree misdemeanor. And actually, that family was never charged with anything. They ended up never really finding anything to charge them with, and yet that was the terror that they endured. So these were the kinds of stories that got me angry, and I couldn't let it go, and that's when I traveled around. And
There's got to be class action suits against Big Pharma and Big Agri, because on record, they are the ones funding and lobbying for regulations and for this harassment. And then every time they cause some big food crisis, they then sick more bureaucrats on innocent small groups.
Right. I mean, the problem is that there was a class action. There was a suit in this case, the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund and the Ohio Civil Rights Union, both sued for civil rights violations on the Stowers family. And unfortunately, the court sided with the government. And that's been happening again and again, too. So I think the only answer to this is that the people really have to band together, and really we have to really educate ourselves on this issue and band together to, you know, elect officials that understand this issue, that understand that the government's been barking up the wrong tree, and elect officials that care about our civil rights.
Well, it's the right tree, though, if they work for foreign corporations that are engaged in a total militarized takeover of the economy. And that's what this is. That's what Agenda 21 is. That's why I think your film, Farmageddon, dovetails well with Behind the Green Mask, you and Agenda 21, Key Weapons in the Info War, both available at Infowars.com.
Big Brother. Mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
The toll-free number to join us normally is 800-259-9231, but those phones are loaded. Our guest being on with us, the director of Pharmageddon. So I've opened up our phone system right here in my studio for people that have been victims of the federal government out of their jurisdiction, even harassing people with five chickens. Oh, these are open range, totally healthy. Well, let us harass you. Again, Big Pharma, Big Agra, same group, openly financing the shutdown of family farms and other sustainable operations, all part of Agenda 21. Agenda 21 is about shutting down the economy under the guise of environmentalism. Nothing to do with the environment. It's a power grab. So the toll-free number to join us is 877-789-2539. 877-789-2539. I know there's a lot to add here, Kristen, but anything else you'd like to point out before we go to phone calls pertaining to Pharmageddon, the unseen war on America's family farms?
Now, I really appreciate you helping to spread this message. This whole journey started with me. I used to be the one that wanted to bleach everything and sterilize everything, and we got sick. And so I'm lucky that I found these foods. It was actually raw milk that ended up healing my son of allergies. He was very, very sick with allergies and asthma. And so I started to eat this way and saw the government trying to shut it down. And I appreciate people like you trying to spread the word about this.
Well, that's another big point you made. I have a big scientific study out today on autism where they break down, a major journal, long-term study, what other scientists have already told us, that what they're doing is going in and growing crops on dead soil that's then full of heavy metals because of the toxic fertilizer they're using. That's bioaccumulating. Then we don't have regular minerals in us that also take out the impurities. So it's a double whammy, and autism's exploding.
Right. I was really lucky. Unfortunately, I didn't know about this before I had kids, but soon after I had kids, because they got sick, I found the Weston Price Foundation, and that taught me a lot about nutrient-dense foods and seeking out nutrient-dense foods. And so I did that for 10 years until I found out that the government was really cracking down on farmers that were growing nutrient-dense foods.
And again, these are not secrets. It's known by handfuls of people. We've got to get the word out to folks. I mean, it's look, sure, I'm product placing right here because I believe in it and it funds our operation. But take Beyond Tangy Tangerine, complete multivitamin mineral complex. This has got a giant ORAC score per serving of 5,745. And the minute I started taking this, and I'm still need to lose more weight, but I lost 40 pounds, Aaron Dykes, over 90. And when I saw that, that's when I finally started taking it. And of course, now I promote it and sell it at a discount at InfoWarsTeam.com. And, my point is that people need to discover growing food or buying food grown on real soil organically, magic effect. Taking powerful natural mineral vitamin supplements at levels way over what the government says you need. Amazing effect. And Big Pharma knows this. They want us sick so that they can come burn and cut and work on us. Spend a little bit more time how you discovered all this and what it did for your family.
I was so lucky I discovered it. Basically, my doctor told me that my son was allergic to the world, which was grass, dust, bees, every kind of pollen. So inside and outside, the entire environment, he was just coughing and sneezing and screaming all night that he couldn't breathe. And he had an inhaler, and the doctors kept giving me stronger and stronger medications, and they just weren't working. That's how I had to find an alternative. And so finally, one of the doctors said that his immune system was so severely depressed that he would be on these strong medications the rest of his life. He probably wouldn't grow. He could never get near animals. He could never be out. It would be hard for him to be outside. And and a naturopath doctor luckily told me to take him off all the drugs and find alternatives. And I kept researching and researching on the internet until finally I found enough compelling stories that raw milk could be a cure for allergies. And at the time, I was scared to death. I thought it was disgusting to even think about raw milk, but I ventured out and met my farmer and asked a lot of questions and drank a lot of it myself to make sure I didn't die before I gave it to my 4-year-old son. And I loved it, and I gave it to him. And he is 16 now. He doesn't have any allergies. He's an athlete. He's 6 feet tall. He plays hockey, plays sports outside, inside. We have animals. And so it works. Real food really can work.
Wow, imagine real food's what we need, not McDonald's food that doesn't decompose.
Yeah, exactly.
And again, I've known this for a long time, but just was so set in a quasi-healthy, quasi-unhealthy that I never really started taking the plunge, and I've just begun. And it's like, this is so powerful, this information, and that's what the eugenicists are desperate for us to discover. They're building a false environment to enslave us with sickness. They're scared we're getting off the reservation, and they're sending the rural council Agenda 21 after us. And the answer is to proliferate the swap meets and the farms and the gardens even faster, where they cannot stop us. You want to defeat the New World Order, folks? Educate people, speak out, but also just start living better and start educating others and creating communities. This will bring them down. Let's go ahead and talk to CJ in Michigan. You're on the air with the director and creator of Farmageddon. Go ahead, CJ. Good to talk to you. You're on air with us.
Yeah, thanks. I'm an urban farmer here in Michigan. You know, got the garden in the front yard. Haven't had any problems with that. Last year, got a goat, and I mean, it was like I had killed somebody. I got the summons. You know, I got the notice to get rid of it. Fines coming or jails coming. This and that. So I'm doing all kinds of research, trying to find laws. Michigan Right to Farm Act. Getting obstacles after obstacles, but bottom line is, this is my life. This is my family's future. You know, we have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
By the way, my grandfather worked in the oil fields. He brought a little goat home that was orphaned. Its mother had been run over, and it grew, and they kept it for a long time. And then, you know, years later, gave it to a farmer, but it would jump up on the mantle and stuff. They love that goat. I mean, goats, a single one, you don't want a bunch of them, they'll eat your yard. I mean, those are pretty nice little pets. And they're saying you can't have this evil goat, but I guess they're glad Michigan's collapsing, though. I guess that's fun, though.
Yeah, it's real. I mean, it's a fun. There's a different. Okay, me and you agree that the right to travel is there, but they call it a privilege. But who can say that life? Okay, it can be argued that you can be born and not ever step into a car and you'll still live. But you need water, you need food, and you need shelter. How can they restrict a fundamental right?
No, I hear you. So what's happening with the goat?
Well, I had to get rid of the goat because I just don't have the time to fight it. But it's coming to the point where I'm just gonna. I got bees coming tomorrow. I'm just gonna take the fine. I'm gonna not pay it, and I'm just.
Oh no, they don't want bees. The bees all have to die. You can't have those. I appreciate your call. What an evil caller. While the honeybees are collapsing, they're begging you to keep them. But then when you do, they come after you. This is terrible that he would do such a thing. What do you say to that, Kristen?
Like I said, I've seen this over and over again. It's happening everywhere. But luckily, I mean, the hope that I have is that it's happening so much, and it's just getting so over the top right now, and so many people are seeing it that people are starting to wake up. So that's what I'm hoping, that people will see the film, that people will start, you know, waking up, that people will start banding together. And, you know, I'm really sorry to that farmer that he doesn't have time to fight it. It takes so much time to fight this. But if we can find groups of people to fight it together and form groups and go to the legislators and try to fight it together, we'd have a better chance.
Absolutely. I'm taking the next step towards getting the chickens and doing everything else. just because I need to be prepared, but also because it hurts the New World Order. And whatever I cannot buy from their big mega devil stores, whatever I can do to pull myself out, I'm planting grapevines, I'm doing all sorts of other stuff, blackberries, whatever I can do to not be part of their big sick system, going to farmer's market, buying from locals, buying local raw milk, had some this morning, buying local farmers' eggs. I'm pulling out of your system, starting to buy local farmers' beef. I'm pulling out of your system. I'm pulling out of your system. I'm pulling out of your dirtbag system. Let's go ahead and talk to David in New Jersey. You're on the air with the director of the film. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. Hi, Kirsten. How are you today?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. Real quick, the right to farm ordinance is something you need to look at from a community level. Here in New Jersey, in my township, we have the right to farm, regardless of the size of parcel of land. I have apple trees in my front yard, chickens going in the back, goats. This is a sort of thing that most people need to group up together in their community and pass. The right to farm ordinance is something that you need to look at. The state of New Jersey has adopted to the Department of Agriculture here also the right to farm ordinances at the community level. So people need to rally together to get this happening at the local level. And when local people rally together, trust me, the feds have a very difficult time trying to do anything about it.
Well, once you've had real milk, you don't go back. Again, I've studied it. You go back to the 30s and 40s, big pharma, big agri, same group, convinced everybody that raw milk wasn't as good and you want the new pasteurized stuff just so they could ship it further, have dirty milk with feces and blood, overwork the cows. Then they started passing ordinances that it had to be from certain groups, certain companies. And then over time, they just phased it out to where now the counterfeit that is just like liquid artery sludge is what people think milk is versus real milk. And so as people segue from the GMO deadly, you know, milk that gives you cancer with the growth hormone in it to then, oh, okay, we're organic. We're not, you know, we don't have GMO to, no, now I want the real thing. Once you get real milk, you're like, how did I ever drink this sludge?
Exactly. Real quick, if you're interested, you can go to Pittsgrove Township. This is the township I'm calling from. And you could actually put Right to Farm. You could Google it, Right to Farm, Pittsgrove, New Jersey. And it's a great model ordinance. It was adopted. It is law. It's a law of the land here. Take a look at it. I think it's something that you could bring to various councils or township meetings and try to introduce.
Well, God bless you, sir. Great points. Human instinct is powerful. And despite all the brainwashing and dumbing down, people are buying 5 million guns a month, total all-time record. They're buying seeds, they're planting, everybody. Human. It's like after 9/11, there was a baby boom for a year. In fact, that was when my wife and I conceived our first child. Humans don't have to be told, you know, an archetypal, you just saw a bunch of people killed, have kids. The way the system sold that was, we just lost half of America. It wasn't, but the way they sold it was, we're under attack. Boom, all these kids. It's the same thing. Now we really are under attack. Suddenly, the media's not telling us, but everybody's buying guns. Everybody's starting, I mean, everybody. And so that's because the human instinct is very, very powerful. Kristen, your comments on that?
Yep. No, I agree with that. And I'm also happy that the farmer brought up the right to farm ordinances. And the other thing that's happening around the country, too, which is very positive, is that townships are starting the food sovereignty laws. You know, they're passing laws trying to keep the state and federal governments out of their farming system. So anything grown in their counties or towns can be sold, traded, swapped, co-opted, you know, within that county without the state.
Exactly. And as the state says that's illegal, that's the line in the sand. When you can't live in the country and trade food with your neighbors, that is a total genocidal attack. That's what Stalin did to the Ukrainians. It doesn't get any more brazen than that.
It's very sad, I think, that we have to pass food sovereignty laws to try to keep the federal government out of our farms because they see them as a danger. I wish that didn't have to happen.
Yeah, a danger. Yeah, your kids might not get autism if they eat healthy food grown locally. We got to make sure those kids have horrible lives. Paul in New York, you're on the air with our guest. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. I'm representing a farm that is a 400-acre farm in Finger Lakes region of New York. And they basically fear for their life at this point, and they're in hiding.
John Baum was telling me that the feds are in there trying to steal land left and right under a Agenda 21 move.
Well, this one actually was started in 2008. This farm was in possession of these people for about 105 years, their family. In 2008, Enron got a... they wouldn't sign a lease with Enron, and the county went and wrote them a title, tax title to the farm out of thin air, and told them they were basically tax protesters and lost their farm, and they came in and let them live there, in quotes, you know, that while they built gas wells, compressor station, and three pipelines across the property. Then they sold the title to the Watkins Glen International Racetrack, a.k.a. International Speedway Corporation, by warranty deed, and it went to court. Basically, New York State Supreme Court judge dismissed the case for lack of jurisdiction, finding that the Watkins Glen's attorneys admitted during the trial the farm was never foreclosed or any tax foreclosure proceeding. And get down to quick here, what happened afterward? It's basically stated that prevented them from ever trying to evict the people again. Well, instead of Watkins Glen getting anything done through, what they did was they went in on October 27, 2010, about eight employees armed with machine guns, dressed in black, driving a Hummer tank and SUV parade of about 11 vehicles, and came to the farm without notice, without a warrant, without legal process of any kind, without any ID, without stating any legal purpose, drove over then smashed down the fences, the gates, broke into the homes. There's two homes, the barns, the pastures, buildings, seized all the worldly belongings and the animals. They had Scotch Highland cattle and sheep and Jersey milk cows, ducks, geese, guineas, turkeys.
So we're going to have to go here. The segment's almost over. Our guest is about to leave us. What's the name of the people in the case, sir?
That's the problem. The only thing I have here, and this came from an attorney friend of mine.
I understand. I appreciate your call, sir, if you can't tell us the story. But we'd like to help, but we just can't if you can't give us the info. This goes on everywhere now. It's the lawlessness of the government. They're not putting TSA in bars and restaurants and on buses because they want to play musical chairs with us. This is a classical tyranny takeover by foreign banks that have hijacked the federal government. And we've just got to get dug in and get ready because these people are criminals and they're coming and they mean business. Comments on what the caller was just saying?
Unfortunately, it's been happening for too much. And America needs to wake up and we really need to start fighting this. All Americans need to wake up.
Let's talk to Hannah in Hawaii. Hannah, you're on the air with our guest.
Hello, Alex.
Yes, sir.
Hello, Alex.
Yes, sir, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good. We're almost out of time. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I grew up on a dairy, and I drank raw milk my whole life. And I got a great immune system. So I think basically people just got to band together. I live in Hawaii. We live in a farming community. We have farmers markets every weekend. We don't really have any impact from the government, you know, as far as them trying to break down our system. So
no, that's wrong. It's wrong that they're attacking the areas that aren't that strong yet. But
right.
But when you're got a lot of people involved, that's where the strength is.
Right. And there is only one instance where they tried to GMO a taro plant, which makes poi. If you know Hawaii, it's a plant that makes poi. And they couldn't do it because the community got together and got it in the newspapers and they basically shut it down. So, you know, strength in numbers, I say, get it in the newspaper, you know, get your community together, work hard.
Well said. I appreciate your call from the beautiful island of Hawaii, or islands of Hawaii. That's a great point that he raises, though, that once you get a community doing this, there's not much the system can do. So that's the answer. Everybody needs to start doing this right now.
Yeah, that's true. That's the only answer, is to band together as communities and grow our own food and share our own food and protect your local farmer. And like you said, also, try to keep your dollars with your local farmer and in your local food system as much as possible.
Let me ask you this. From your study, what area of the country is the worst? Where do they really harass people the worst?
Right now, I'm so surprised because when I was traveling around, people said, you know, there's this magical place called Rossum Foods in Venice, and California could never be touched. And California is the worst, right? It's one of the worst. I think Michigan and Wisconsin are bad, too. but California, all the goat herd shares and cow shares were shut down in a place where raw milk is legal. And they're fighting for GMO labeling, and there's a lot of GMOs being
sold. That's it. I mean, they're going after the head. If people in California are fighting for healthy food, that's where Obama's shutting down all the medical marijuana.
They're fighting for they're fighting for water rights there. They're fighting for land rights there. So I'm sad to say I think it's California right now, but I'm not positive.
Well, of course it is, because it's Agenda 21. They claim it's for the earth. It's not. It's behind the green mask. It's a skull. It's death. The book Behind the Green Mask, available at Infowars.com along with Farmageddon. I have to say I am impressed, Kristen, with what you've done. You're an amazing filmmaker. And I know you're winning a lot of awards right now. The LA Times calls it an eye-popping wake-up call. Even establishment media has to admit you're right, because most people in the media aren't even evil. They're compartmentalized and ignorant, just like you were ignorant, or I was ignorant, thinking raw milk was bad, or thinking you'd have your son in a bubble and finding out it made him sick. We're all like that. We're all in a process of waking up, and just try it out, folks. You'll be amazed. Not eating GMO, not eating things like corn syrup full of lead and mercury. Your children will do good with nutrients, not lead and mercury. Thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. All right, there she goes. A powerful interview. If you think that was powerful, the film is amazing. Infowars.com and support our broadcast. We're going to be right back with Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. I'll try to jam in some of the other calls holding on other subjects as well. Big news straight ahead. Stay with us. It's Friday, the 20th of April, 2012. For the balance of this hour, we are joined by Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, former editor at the Wall Street Journal, former head of policy at the Department of the Treasury, best-selling author, syndicated columnist as well. His latest article is at Infowars.com, Unplugging Americans from the Matrix. It's also on his website, which, of course, is paulcraigroberts.org. Excellent website. As well. And he joins us here today to talk about a host of issues, the latest in the police state, what's happening in our world, and what he means by unplugging Americans from the Matrix. And then I have a point I want to raise to him as well on another subject. All over the U.S., they're giving kids vaccines without parental consent. They are now taking DNA from school children. I have the Daily Mail here. It's also in the Associated Press. Regardless of whether the individual is an adult or juvenile, they are capable of giving consent. We don't require the consent of a parent if we're doing it with someone of a younger age. These are 10 and 11 and 12-year-olds, said Deputy Jason Ramos of the Sacramento County Sheriff's Department, because a dead girl was found back in the woods. How do we know it wasn't a cop did it? Statistically, nowadays, that they are higher crime rates than the general public. You look at real criminology. You didn't know that? Or a school teacher. They're much higher than the cops. Or a truancy officer. One of these pervs in government. Maybe a TSA agent did it. We're going to get all the 10, 11, 12, 13-year-olds. We're going to take their DNA, and we're going to give them vaccines and say, is it all right with you, little girl, little boy? Dr. Roberts, I just sprung that on you out of the gates, but everybody knows if a perv grabs a 10-year-old and says, well, the 10-year-old wanted to have sex or wanted to smoke crack cocaine, no, the child can't give consent. But now the government, all over the country, I'm seeing local governments say, we got your child to say they wanted an abortion at 10. We got the child to say they wanted a vaccine. We got the child to give us DNA. What do you make of this new mega level of corruption?
Well, we're not even serfs, are we? I mean, Americans no longer have the rights even of 19th century slaves. And we accept it. And what's really so funny is that all these patriot flag-waving guys who think they're so macho tough, they're just sheep. They accept all this. What's the difference from what you've just said? And, by 2015, apparently they're going to have black boxes in our cars, recording everywhere we go. Somebody said Well, before you can get in your car and start it up, you first have to get permission. Tell them where you're going, when you'll be back. you know, we've been going on about this for so long, haven't we? And it just keeps getting worse.
Listen, Forbes attacked me for an article at InfoWars.com that got all this going. And so did the New Atlantic, saying, well, they've been tracking some of what you've done for a decade or more. Yeah, these will track everything you do. But what's wrong with that? Why do you think Petraeus came out a month ago and said, yeah, your clock radio's watching you and listening and smart meters. There's no Fourth Amendment anymore. I mean, he actually, why do you think they're in our face like this?
Well, I suppose they're just getting rid of any accountable government. You know, supposedly we have an accountable government and we can hold them accountable through elections and through law. And the government's supposed to hold itself accountable through law. But beginning with the Bush-Cheney-Obama regime, all of that's out. The executive branch is no longer accountable to law, whether domestic or international. In fact, law is whatever the executive branch says. And then this filters down to the executive branches at state and local levels. So I think the legislatures are essentially impotent. They still exist, you know, kind of like the Roman Senate under the Caesars, but they don't have any real role. The executive branch can do whatever it wants, and so can the police in most instances.
You're right, and it just gets crazier and crazier and crazier. I'm sure you saw the big announcements. We already knew this was happening, but now it's admitted. Undercover TSA on the streets and in buses, and just, they admit, listening to our conversations, it violates the 10th Amendment. You're not supposed to have feds out doing that. They're not even really real officers. And then, oh, I meant to have my crew in here today, Darren McBreen and Marcos Morales. I guess Monday I'll have them in and tell the story, or Sunday. They flew out up to Georgia where the guy's house blew up who had the chickens there in Roswell, Georgia. And the police told him, you can't tape the city hall building, period, or we'll arrest you. That's on video. And we think it's suspicious that he died, but they say his house blew up and that he did it. But then flying out, they said, we're not going in the scanners. So they made him wait about 40 minutes and almost missed their flight and kept walking over laughing at him, saying, oh, you're an opt-out. You're going to miss your flight laughing. And then they said, we're going to grope you. And the guy put his glove on. And the way Marcos describes it, and Darren saw it, popped the glove, Doc, and said, everybody deserves a little pleasure.
you know, we accept, the population accepts it. It all goes back to what we've said so many times, 9/11. Population fell for 9/11. That's been the excuse for everything else. And there's no real reason for them to be going around listening to conversations on the street because there are no terrorist acts. We've made that point too many times, right? There's no terrorism in the United States except what the FBI orchestrates. And, of course, other than the terrorism of our own government, state, local, and federal. But it's an excuse, and they've taken it to grab all sorts of power and to establish all kinds of precedents. And essentially, the United States is a police state that masquerades as a democracy. You know, that it was a very interesting set of articles that Ron Utz has in the American Conservative. I wrote about them. It's my latest article about unplugging the matrix. And Ron Utz looks at the propagandistic picture of China and the United States, and then he looks at the real picture of the two, and he finds out that actually the so-called authoritarian government of China is more responsive to Chinese people than the so-called freedom and democracy government of America is to the American people. He finds out also, he shows also that the Chinese government is more accountable to law than the American government, and also has a far more successful economic policy with the real incomes of Chinese workers doubling every decade for the last three decades, while the real incomes of Americans have been stagnant or declining. So wherever you look, if you take off the blinders and you get out of the matrix and look at the real facts, the United States, the people here, they live in an artificial, propagandistic, a virtual reality that's not really real. And that's what I meant about unplugging them. You know, it's a reference to the film, you know, with Neo. And
how do you do that? That's what you're asking. It's an excellent piece. I mean, how do you get people who think the world is just there and they're not part of it and they just believe whatever they're told when we see every, you know, people always blame the Germans. How do they let this happen? Well, their country was destroyed in a war, totally in depression, and Hitler didn't even get elected to a full position. He used it to get power later. I mean, he got elected, but, you know, not the, you know, with 50% of the vote. And that's how it happened. It happens where criminals seize control and people don't know how bad it's going to be, and then they get in control, and everybody just starts saying yes, yes, yes.
That's it. But the United States is a police state. There's no doubt about it. And everything you said at the beginning of our conversation points to that, as well as everything that we've said in all of our conversations over the years, Alex. you may remember the executive orders or the national security directives or whatever they were called of the Bush regime, about how they could take over the government and ignore the Congress. You remember how we used to discuss that? And they get worse and worse. The one Obama issued is even worse, apparently, than the one Bush issued. And, you know, nobody blinks. And they carted off six-year-old girls to jail and handcuffs because they have temper tantrums and charge them with felonies. And no one says, what is this? What? I mean, I don't even think Hitler or Stalin went that far.
Well, that's right, Doc. And I have another question for you. Then I want to get into the economy. And you also sent us an article about Fukushima. I want to get your take on that. But taking folks to the Drudge Report right now, we have the top right-hand link, climate alarmist calls for burning down skeptics' homes. And they're always talking like this, but this is a big senior writer at Forbes saying burn down our houses, find out who we are, and then burn down our houses. And I see Al Gore saying they want an environmental spring here so they can get their carbon tax. And then separately, they have CISPA and SOPA, and they admit they want to start censoring people and shutting down websites without due process. I mean, Doc, I think we're getting to the point where they might actually shut us down.
That's right. I think you're right. I mean, why shouldn't they? What's to stop them? Look, We've already reached the point where the Department of Homeland Security a couple of years ago said they were no longer mainly focused on terrorism. They were now focused on domestic extremists. And we had the episode where they went into the homes of the war protesters, the activists, and took the computers, and they now have, they're trying to make a case against them before grand juries that criticizing the war is the same as giving aid and comfort to the terrorists.
Amazing.
That's what they're trying to do.
Wow.
You see what they've done to Julian Assange and to Bradley Manning, to all the whistleblowers who are supposed to be protected by law but aren't because the government doesn't pay attention to the law.
You know, that's a bombshell point you just made, hiding in plain view. They are grabbing peaceful anti-war activists. And I saw this under Bush, where they tried a case out in California, and I saw the deputy attorney general. It was under a Democrat. His name was Calhoun. He was in the newspaper. I'll still remember, because I read it on air over and over again. It was like in 2004, and it was in the Oakland newspaper. He said, protesting the war aids terrorists, because the war is against terror, and so you need to be arrested, and now they're actually trying it. I mean, that is so un-American, so anti-freedom, that you can't be against war, and that they're going to arrest you. That's the total proof right there.
That's right, and it's not even a short step to the point that if you criticize the government, you are against us, not with us. Remember how Bush phrased it, you're with us or you're against us. Well, if you criticize them on any grounds, then you're against them. And so you can be picked up or shut up or whatever they want to do. You know, the most amazing thing to me was when the Obama official announced, proud to Obama himself, that they had a list of American citizens that they were going to assassinate without due process. And nobody said anything. There was no uproar. Congress didn't say, what do you mean? They didn't call hearings. The law schools didn't explode in anger. The federal courts didn't. The bar associations didn't. A few isolated individuals said something about it. You know, I said something. Glenn Greenwald said something. Probably Harvey Silverglate, you know, a few others. But most people just water off the duck's back there. This is what I say. They're all plugged in. They're all in the matrix. And at the end of my article, you know, I quote from the film where it's being explained to Neo that the people they're actually trying to save, whose minds they're trying to save by unplugging them, will actually fight them to the death to stay plugged in. And that's, you know, you have a large following, but the vast majority of the people, they don't want to be unplugged. And so this helps the government. This is why the government can continue. It's very easy to steal people's liberties and freedoms and rights when they're in the matrix because they like it.
Well, there. But that's my next question. But I want to read the quote that you just mentioned. Why does the establishment want to go to this police state? What are they getting ready for? But let me read the quote you're talking about. The Matrix is a system, Neo. That system is our enemy. But when you're inside, you look around. What do you see? Businessmen, teachers, lawyers, carpenters, the very minds of the people we're trying to save. But until we do, these people are still part of that system. And that makes them our enemy. Yeah, they're like drowning people. They try to take you under. You have to understand most of these people are not ready to be unplugged, and many of them are so injured, so hopelessly dependent on the system that they will fight to protect it. Most of the people I know personally are not willing to be unplugged. I assume my readers are, so seize the opportunity to be further unplugged and read Ron Unez's comparison of America and China. Well, look at China now says they're going to use the model of the NDAA to create their own NDAA. The communist Chinese now get aid and succor for their police state from America. We're now the model of evil.
I'm afraid that's true. But I think we're more of a police state than China, and the government here is less accountable than in China. And when Ron Utz compares the case of the Chinese infant formula that, you know, was diluted or mixed with something to make it go further that introduced illness and death, killed about 300 babies. But all heads rolled in China, and some people were even executed. But when Merck's drug caused 500,000 heart attacks, nothing's happened.
By the way, Paul Watson, who writes for PrisonPlanet.com, his wife is Chinese, so he goes there like two or three times a year now. Yeah. He says it's incredibly free compared to England, and he walks right on the plane, right off. In many ways, it's... I tell you, that's scary, and I've had people on and explain that to them who don't go to China, and they argue with me. But Paul guarantees it.
Yeah, well, I was there in 2006, and there's no sign of a police state. And the Chinese officials I met with had sincere concern with Chinese people and making things work and prove them. And they had draconian punishments for corruption. And the elite that misbehaves, they just wipe them out. They don't tolerate it. And here it's totally the opposite. But anyhow, Ron Unz is a very careful thinking, a thoughtful person, and he's brave, which is rare.
Stay there. Tell us about him on the other side and a little bit on this Fukushima situation. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts is our guest.
I say I shot the sheriff, but I swear it was in self-defense.
Dr. Roberts, you were getting to the point of this researcher, author. You were saying a very careful guy, but also brave in your words. Finish up with that, and then I want to ask you the question. Why is the ruling class getting rid of all the due process? Because from my study of history, it's generally the ruling class that gets destroyed when they up front get greedy and get rid of any due process.
Yeah, I don't know the answer. Historically, is correct. It was the upper class who wanted to bring in law to protect themselves and their property from the power of kings, because the kings were above the law, the kings were the law, and all that sort of thing. And this was achieved in England, and we inherited it. So apparently, the elite think they've got some other power now, and they no longer need the protection of the law, and so they're taking it away from us so that they can do to us what they want. That's what it looks like. But, who knows? It could just be the drive for power. All of these police agencies want power, and they want less constraints. And so it could simply have been that 9/11, the way that played, has just been used to take away restraints against the use of arbitrary power. That it may be that simple, or they may have some plan. I don't know. I really don't know.
I agree with you. All I know is historically, it's deadly dangerous. And if people aren't concerned out there, something's wrong with them.
That's right. Well, there is something wrong with them. They're plugged in the matrix.
They
live in virtual reality, an artificial world. They have no idea what's true, what's false. They're propagandized by the media. Not too many of them get any alternative information. It's just the way it is.
Why do you think Forbes would let a writer come out and say, burn people's houses down that are climate skeptics?
I don't know.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Well, see, it looks like neither side of any issue wants any debate. They just want to impose their view. They're completely sold on the rightness of their view. Everybody else is wrong. And so you come to war. You come to war against each other. Nobody wants to listen to see what the truth doesn't mean anything anymore. It's what I believe it is truth. And I don't want to question it because I don't want to find out if it's wrong or if there's some other explanation. So it's very hard to get any kind of discussion. I mean, even in scholarship, it's hard. Minds are closed for the most part.
It is. It's bizarre studying history. It's a very strange time. Briefly, we're almost out of time. I hope you have a great weekend coming up. 60 seconds on the economy and its further deterioration. And now they're saying, oh, maybe austerity's not good in Europe. It's making the economy shut down.
Yes, that's true. That's what austerity will do. Well, for us, there's no recovery. Nothing's changed. All the money and debt that's being created may come back and bite us in the higher prices, and we may be headed for a real problem of a combination of rising prices and falling employment, and there's no solution to that. So we're creating the possibility of the worst economic crisis in our history, and they're blind to it. They continue preoccupation with the banks. Save the banks, screw everybody else. That's the policy here. That's the policy in Europe.
Amazing job. I look forward to speaking to you soon. Have a great weekend, Doctor.
Thank you, Alex.
All right, there goes Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. You can find out more at his website. And we've got links to it up on InfoWars.com. I'll be back. Well, Mike Adams is back Sunday with the Sunday radio show.